Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, April 9th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Follow Orbital Command on Twitter using the link in the show notes to receive regular threads on Terra protocols and yield strategies, news, resources, and Twitter space discussions. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, a CeFi space, trading bot setup theory. Listen, actually, you want to know something funny? Hutch was hitting me up the other day and he's like, hey, do you know which space the bot trading stuff is? And I was like, you know, I sent him a few links, but I was like, I don't know if any of these are hit. And then like 10 minutes later, I see CeFi pop a space up that's like trading bot setup theory. Hutch couldn't find it, so he just went to the man. He's like, hey, can we do a space on what I need? And the man obliged. That's why we love you, CeFi. Let's take a listen.
Hey, guys. Gonna let some folks roll in here for a minute. I kind of DM'd Hutch because he was the one that wanted to specifically open a space about this for a little bit. I think he set up some sort of IRA or LLC or something, and he wanted to open up a bot within that, which makes tax situations much, much simpler. Because when you're doing a lot of buying and selling, you're going to get a lot of transactions. So that can be a strategy to make things a little simpler from a like tax reporting standpoint. So let me see if he's going to make it here or what. I'm not sure what his story is right now. Seems like I got a fire alarm over here that's run out of batteries or some shit. So if you hear beeping in the background, that is what that is. Let's give people a minute to come in. If anyone has used any trading bots or programmed any of them, feel free to hop up here and we can kind of chat, see what kind of experiences people have had, what you've done, maybe what kind of mistakes you think you made, things like that would be productive discussion as well. All right, I got a chance to move to a place without a fire alarm beeping in the background. All right. I don't know if Hutch is going to make it or not. if you guys have seen him around, send him a message. We can record this either way, but it'd probably be good if he was here. While we're waiting, if anyone has any particular questions or experiences, feel free to ask for speaker and I can have you hop up. If not, we can just start to kind of get into it a little bit. All right. Well, let's kind of just like cover a couple of trading 101 things. Hold on. Johnny's asking for hopping up here. Hey, Johnny, how are you? Any comments, questions before we get started? Or things you want to know about?
Yeah, I was wondering if you are familiar with the Infinity grid bots, if you'll.
Yeah, we can cover that for sure. So, yeah, I think probably First and foremost, we can get into kind of like different types of ways to program buys and sells. Basically, if you think about it, you know, if you're trading, your goal is to buy low, sell high. It really is nothing more complicated than that, obviously. The more complex part is how often to do that, what's a good price to buy, what might be a good price to sell. All of that is the kind of nebulous stuff that no one can ever give you a straight answer for, because there is no straight answer, right? Like you depending on fundamentals and depending on news and depending on lots of different things, the price of markets can move generally, and then they can also move individually, like for a specific coin. You know, if there's a lot of hype happening for a week, you might see things go up or down. You know, you can't fully plan that out, right? You don't know when some coin is going to have some big move. You try to use a little bit of technical analysis ideas to get a little bit of a concept of where maybe, you know, bottoms have been established, so that you can kind of make some decisions about where you want to place some trading ranges in your mind, so that you can set up some orders. Obviously, when you get onto exchanges, you have a couple of types of orders. Hey, Hutch, how are you? Let me hop you up here real quick. So you obviously have two types of orders, market and limit. Market is where you buy at the price you want. You might get some slippage, but you can basically decide, hey, I want to buy some Luna right now, and you can hit a button, and next thing you know, you're buying yourself some Luna. The limit buy, obviously, is where you can set up an order that's going to hit at a predefined price. So, for example, if Luna is $97 now and I want to buy it at 92, I can set up an order at 92 and obviously get my order. Different types of bots can do, they can be set up in a couple of ways. One is you have some mathematical system that's running in the background, and based on those predefined criteria, a market order might be placed. Or B, there is a predefined set of orders that your bot is going to create in the form of limit orders. And that typically is considered a grid bot. Whereas if you're a bot is essentially executing sequential market orders of one sort or the other. You know, for example, based on like a technical analysis parameter, like for example, you can go onto some platforms like a three commas or something like that, and you could put orders such that let's say you had a 50-day moving average, you know, cross over a 200-day moving average, you know, what we consider a golden cross. You could say, okay, I want to set it up to buy at that time, and I want to set up to you know, sell based on some other parameter, like for example, 5% increase in price or whatever, right? You could do these kinds of methods where a system could be programmed based on some sort of momentum tool or technical tool. And usually these are, you're talking about momentum tools concepts of like overbought or under oversold conditions, like for example, an RSI. So sometimes people program around those types of things. I have found that generally speaking, mathematically, those things are not reliable. In fact, if you just go pull up your favorite chart, go find yourself, you know, a series of like go to like a, maybe a 15-minute chart or a 1-hour chart or a 4-hour chart, just pick what you want and do like a 5200 cross or something like that. And go back and see what would happen if you executed orders based on that. What you'll find is sometimes those crosses, not sometimes, those crosses are always late. So they definitely will not catch bottoms, right? They're momentum indicators. So by definition, they won't catch bottoms. You have to have sufficient upward momentum off the bottom, essentially, or whatever, wherever that bottom is, in order to actually cause one of those crosses to happen. So one is you've already left behind some of the profit on the table, because on the, you know, on the way up, you know, let's say the price of Luna is at $92 and it goes to 97. Sure, you might trigger some moving average crosses on certain time zones, time frames, but what's going to happen there is you've already missed the move from like 92 to 97. So the problem with the moving average cross is you didn't get the $5 gain in that example, but you also may not have gotten you may be buying late, meaning like maybe I buy now at 97 and the price goes back down to 92, right? So there's no guarantee that just because a moving average cross were to occur, that price has to continue to go up. So these are considered lagging indicators, meaning they don't predict anything necessarily. On really long time frames, like a monthly time frame, in crypto in particular, you can find that a monthly indicator, which is a very long time, by the way, if you think about it, like, you know, monthly indicator might have crosses, you know, every 6 months to a year. Those tend to be fairly reliable. It would reduce the total number of trades that you do, right? But that wouldn't require a bot at that point. You could just set an alarm on TradingView and, you know, not have to spend money on bot fees, right? You can go on TradingView, you can set alarms for things like, you know, moving average crosses and all that stuff. And you could have it warn you, hey, you know, I'm interested in Luna, I'm interested in Bitcoin, I'm interested in whatever. And, I want to be warned when a 50, you know, 200 moving average cross happens, and it will do that for you, right? So you can do all sorts of cool stuff on TradingView that doesn't require you to, you know, do bots. You know, you could do like, you could put like limit orders, not limit orders, but you can put lines in the sand, sort of where an alarm is sent to you. So for example, if I like the FIB levels of Luna, I could actually just put alarms for each of those levels by drawing a little, you know, alarm line there. And when price hits that, it'll notify me on my phone and I could buy if I want to, right? So that's another.
Can you trigger sell bots?
Can you do what?
Can you trigger sell bots, but only if it hits one of those fibs above? Like, you know, you and I were talking before about 135 or 138 being a level, 218. Can you not set the orders, but set the orders to be conditional that they will turn on a grid sell bot? Yeah.
So you can do all sorts of things. Pretty much anything you could imagine, you could figure out a way to do. It's just like questions of what kind of platforms do you want to do? Do you want to just simply put limit orders in to accomplish this for you? In other words, you may not need, if it's a lower frequency trading, fees and everything else are going to come out less if you just simply put in limit orders if you'd like to do so. So for example, let's say you take a Luna top, right? You get a Luna top of, and by the way, how do you know you've reached a top? You don't. So what you do is you take a whatever all-time high you have and you just draw yourself a little, set of lines. You go on TradingView, you draw down like 7%, you put a line there, you put alarm, and then you go down another 7% from that line, and then you draw yourself another alarm line. And what you can do is you can set alarms so that you can go and buy it manually, or B, you have the price right there, you can go ahead and set your orders. So you could go like, all right, I'm going to say 10% down from, you know, 120, and I'm going to put a order in for $10, and 10% below that, I'm going to put an order in for 20. Exactly. So something like that. I kind of have something like that. Yeah. I find 7% is a little bit better. I think 10% is a little too conservative a lot of times. It depends on how many trades you want to execute, obviously, but think about it this way. If you put 10%, yes, you're going to, the first buy is going to be more conservative, but the problem is you might miss hitting between 20% down in price down to 30. You might miss that actually, right? Because the amount of drop that has to happen is getting more and more. So if you're comfortable with missing some, you know, or you know what, if you set a couple that are, you know, you set a few orders in and then you find, ooh, it went even below that, then you can manually enter a big one at the bottom, right? So, or some lower zone. So I do that frequently too. I sometimes wing it. Like I don't necessarily have to have a, you know, limit order for everything. I can just sort of like, you know, throw some money at it if it goes below.
What I have right now at this moment is a Meow limit order for Luna at around 87 and change, because I kind of like that spot and I can see a little scamwick going down there. And then I have 5% and 6% bids, and that's kind of my whatever. Those haven't been hit in a long time, since January, I think. So that's kind of like, if things go crazy down, then there's like, you know, there's 20 million of each. That's kind of like my limit order. It's not really a limit order, but that's to make sure I catch some exposure there.
Sure. Obviously, the deeper you have to, the farther this fall is, the more cash you have to have set aside to kind of just sitting there and waiting, right? So as long as you're comfortable with a substantial amount sitting around in cash, like you could even leave it in Anchor Protocol, you know, and just leave it in Earn, right? You don't have to have it sitting doing nothing. Because if you set yourself, you know, a couple of limit orders so that they hit while you're sleeping, I mean, the odds you're going to get a 30% dip overnight are limited, right? So you could always leave the rest in Anchor, let it earn, and then go for it, right? So this would be an example of a strategy that doesn't require any kind of bot, you know, just sort of like a strategy for how I might place limit orders. And but it just gives us a little bit of a reference point for like how I'm thinking about this, okay? Because there's not that much difference between this and doing it with a bot. The difference would be that you still, I mean, the similarities are you still have to have some trading theory. You still have to have some idea of the volatility or range of an asset. You might need some sort of metric as to why you believe that's like a good bottom to pick. Because in bot trading, the biggest thing is going to be picking the narrowest range possible that makes sense for that bot to run, because the narrower it is, the more profitable it tends to be. Okay, and we'll get into that a little bit more in a bit here. But Rick, yeah, you got a comment question?
Yeah, so I was going to ask Hutch specifically. So you've been using MeowTrader. How have you found that for limit orders? Because I don't have any experience there. You know, doing a dynamic DCA over there. It's pretty interesting. You know, the dynamic part is like I never hit what I want to hit, and I'm doing it manually. So there's I leave it to my my brain to make a lot of errors, or not errors, but misjudgments. So it's interesting to hear. But I mean, it would be great to know how you're
using. Yeah, you could software. Like even if you pick limit orders, you could still make, you know, errors in judgment, right? It depends on how granular you want to get. Like let's say for example, you picked every 3% down. You place some sort of order, then you're going to hit more times, right? Like that's just how that works. And you may, and some, one way you could look at it is you could say, well, you know what, the first order, I don't want it to trigger until I want to start after I have a good 10% drop from wherever top I'm at. So if you notice, like with Luna, it drops 5 to 10% from a top, like on any given day, like it's just not. Almost every single top has had 5 to 10% retracement. So you can pretty much start putting orders the minute you get to a new all-time high, in my opinion. And it sounds weird. Like, why would you want to start buying again at all-time highs? No, you're just creating a brand new scale at that point, right? And the reason why you're doing that is because you already have some concept in your mind of what a potential future price is going to be, right? It's no longer pie in the sky because you got there, right? So in other words, it'd be one thing for me to say, you know, let's say Apple stock's at $10 and I'm having this dream that it's going to be $200, right? But it's a different thing if Apple was $200 and it dropped to 170. A retracement is just different than just you projecting some future possibility. So retracements can offer you a lot of benefit in the sense that pullbacks, when they say buy the fucking dip, right? Like when you have these dips, It's because you already have proof of life at those higher levels is the idea, right? So even if you bought Bitcoin at 20,000 back when, you know, in 2017, and it pulled back to all the way down to 3K, like those of us who knew what we were doing, we're like, yeah, it'll go back to 20K because that's just, you know, it's already done it. We already proved it once, right? And we believe in the fundamentals and therefore we believe it'll go back up, right? And remember, the lower something goes, the more your fundamentals matter, because like, you know, once if, you know, any asset that's, you know, any good can make a 50 to 60% retracement. We're talking about blue chip stocks, whatever. Right. But when you talk about a 70 or 80% retracement, man, your fundamentals better be good. Right. Because you don't know, you know, at that point, can it recover? That's the question you're going to ask yourself. Right. So I think those are some important sort of general theories, but I think retracements offer you really good opportunities because I think a local top is a good place to scale and a reasonable place to start scaling in if you're going in with this manual route would be something like, I would say you could start at like around below at least 10, if not more, if it's a really volatile asset, maybe a 20% drop from a top, right? Then you could enter your first order. It depends too, like if the general momentum is like upwards, like there's just tremendous amount of bull market sentiment and you're like, yeah, you know, like I don't want to I have a little bit of FOMO. I think we should probably go ahead and be more aggressive. That's one thing. But if it's, you know, like the markets are now, which is relatively flat, I would say, low volume, you know, Bitcoin's going sideways. This is kind of a good time to be looking at sort of bot trading opportunities, because the sideways market's where you make money in this, really, more than a bullish or bearish market.
Yeah, so the pullback for me is kind of the trigger, and I don't know that much about bots, which is why I was excited about this call, but at least just with the tools I have, what you said, Luna Rick, for me to take my emotion out of it is better, because I can FOMO, I can get scared and not buy, and so when there's a pullback, I start to look at the chart, and I pick areas that I want. And so I did buy some. I posted something yesterday that said, okay, I'll bite. And that was kind of more of a market order. But I knew in that low 90s, I kind of figured we'd see a bounce. And I'm always worried that may be the bottom of the sideways or the bounce. And so what I did is I did the King U market order. So the 3% had already been cleared and it was going in the 4%. So I just put a bid in for 3% on Kujira. And that was already cleared out, and waited the 10 minutes. And thankfully there was like a little bit more, and I activated it. And so I got a fill for like 60 something Luna right there at like 93. But then I started looking at the charts and I said, okay, I'd want some at 87. I don't know if I'll get filled on Kujira. So I just went to Miah. I think I threw, I don't know, it was like low double digit Miah, it was like 20 something Miah. And I've had luck with that, especially on a Luna USC. On the Luna B Luna, that's where it's like, you always wonder if they're going to pick me or not. But with Luna UST, I've had good luck. So I did a bid in the 87 range because I knew I wanted something there. I hope, and I don't think we're going to fall past there, but just in case, going back to Seffi's point, I don't want my money dead. So I have it in earn. I borrowed all this to do this. I borrowed, put it in earn, and then put some in the 5% and the 6% towers in Kujira, which haven't gotten hit for a while. And they're really tall, like 20 million each. And so that's kind of like...
But they're also super low risk, right? And high, high reward. So... You're getting yield on your AUST in that Kujira. And if you hit a 5% one, man, it like all hell would have had to broke loose, right? Because you know how that goes.
What it is for me, just to make sure.
That would be a lottery ticket, essentially, to a low Luna price, essentially, is what you're doing there.
Yep. And just to clarify, I've been trying to get into Luna X. And right now the swamp, it used to be pretty bad from B Luna to Luna X. And so as soon as I got that 3% off, it's really 2.5%. But that kind of 2.5% off Kingu market order, I swapped it on Terraformer for Luna X right away. And I think I gave up like 2%, but from B Luna to Luna X, that's not bad. It's actually, if you look at par for Luna X, I'm actually doing pretty good there.
Yeah. So right now, you know, the opportunity is, well, you have assets like maybe bonded Luna that it might earn you yield. You have ARB opportunities in between. You have the ability on chain to use Anchor Earn, which, you know, again, sort of de-risks your position because it's earning you yield while you wait. You have the ability to place some limit orders. So, you know, really, you already have, and you have Kujira also, which allows you to place almost like lottery discount orders as well while you're earning yield there too. So if you think about it that way, you know, do you actually need to do anything except what you're already doing? An argument could be made that you're going to do just fine, just like you don't need any fancy bots or anything, right? Like, so that would be one thing, is this, if you have a strategy and there's enough ways to make money in an ecosystem, an argument can be made, just leave it alone. Now, so let's kind of think about that for a second and think about the ranges we just talked about. He talked about like maybe having, you know, a possible bottom or like, you know, area about 80, let's say $5 or something like that, where maybe an order could hit. We already know that we have a local top of about 120. So that's a good range to sort of start with when we start thinking about a bot. So let's think about like the three. Well, first off, when it comes to a bot, ask yourself this. One, do you want it to, is your goal to actually earn more of the fundamental asset that you care about? Or is the goal to get more stables, right? You know, in other words, are you trying to exit to profit so that you can, you know, like eat the next day, right? Because there's a good argument for using bots to de-risk a position in the sense that you're trading. It's trading for you, but it's like giving you liquidity exiting as stable
on the way up, right? On the way up,
on the way up and down, because remember, it's every single increment it's making you money, right? like every single percent increment of the grid, it's making you money.
Have you tested that against just the Luna USTLP? I'm wondering how different it is because the Luna USTLP is doing the same thing and you're getting
providing key. It's providing you interest. But I bet you the bot would be more aggressive in terms of yield, right? Because you're getting this like transactional yield there, which probably is okay. Like I don't know what the LP is paying you now. It's probably like what?
20 to 30.
Yeah. That's 20 to 30 is pretty weak actually. Like a grid arb trade bot will probably net you like 100% APY easy on a relatively. Yeah. So it's a pretty effective tool. And if used correctly is super low risk. Oh, for a second. I'm sorry. It's a super low risk. So think about it this way. All right. So there's three types of major bots like on KuCoin. I think that's a good standard for it. You could also download Pionex and look at those. Very similar. They're really slick interface.
What do you like best? What's that? Which ones do you like best?
I think they're both good. Pionex gives you slightly different assets, which is why you might want to have like download both. You know, they both work pretty well. The nice thing about KuCoin is you can just transfer UST direct there. That's kind of nice, right? Whereas the problem with Pioneer is you got to have like Tether, and I've been like posting to them to hurry up and put UST on there so we can go play on there easier. But it's a little bit more of a pain in the ass to transfer to there because of the fact that they don't accept transfers in all coins either. Like you can't send Luna there either, which is, you know, kind of a pain in the ass. So they have Luna, but I'm not even arguing you should even do a bot for Luna necessarily. And the reason is because you might want to separate that into a totally different asset, which you're trying to take profit on with just volatility and not have to worry about like an asset you have to mix tax lots on, because I know you're worried about that, right? So you could think about that as like, you know, picking a totally different thing to do this with. And there are some good choices to consider there as well. But anyway, one thing is your goal to get more of the underlying asset, more your goal to get stables. So there's three basic types of bots that I think platforms have found effective, which is why they tend to be popular. And, you know, like no matter which platform you go to, you find like some iteration of them. And that is one is grid bots. Number two is a rebalancer bot, and number three is an infinity bot. So let's go through those just real briefly. A grid bot, number one, exits to Tether. All right. So you're basically making money in a stable. Its goal is not to make you necessarily more of the underlying asset. It's basically made to make you profit in the form of trades. That's the goal there. Number two is the rebalancer bot, which would be where you can let's talk about a single asset rebalancer bot at this point. Let's not even talk about multi-asset. Let's just say, okay, like USDT and Luna, for example. You'd pick two coins, one a stable, one an unstable, and as the system rebalances as Luna's price goes up and down, you are taking the trading activity and you are you're auto compounding that back into the stable slash primary asset that you have in there. So if your goal is to acquire more of the asset, right, like let's say Luna, you really can't go wrong on a rebalancer. Over time, it will definitely go up. Like it's just a matter of like it's just as long as your underlying asset is sound and it's doing well, you're basically guaranteed to get more of the underlying asset that you care about. That's pretty much how that works. Like there's really no way for that to not work unless you literally like exit the thing while the coin that you bought is low for some reason or something like that. Like you know, as long as you let it run, it will work. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just clarify what I heard? Yeah. So it sounds like GridBot, it's like if I'm trying to take some profits or I'm kind of bearish the overall environment and I want to get in stables, I want quick profits, and that's the GridBot is going to get me into more stables and make me a profit.
Well, it also depends on how you set it up too, because a GridBot, you can set it up for high exposure to the underlying coin, depending on what you set your range at. Like for example, if I set a Bitcoin range of like $35,000 to $1 million, then that would require me to have a whole lot of BTC because it has to sell all the way up, right? So if you're bullish, you'd pick a range that's one direction. If you're bearish, you'd pick a range that's different. So it doesn't automatically mean you're bearish. It just means that you want to take profit on the volatility all the way up and down the range. Okay, so we'll get into that. So that'll kind of make sure that you're constantly de-risking your position by selling every time you make an what's called a volatility arb trade. And we'll talk about
this. Little quick hit.
Yeah.
Little singles and the rebalancer bond is kind of more the other way. It's almost like Luna UST on the way down. It's going to stack me more Luna.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right.
Okay.
And not only right, that,
but I got it. Thank
do
you.
It on the way down. It'll do it every single time Luna goes up and down.
So I'm going to have more exposure, but it's going to stack me more Luna, yes, as opposed to give me quick singles and give me USDT as profit.
Exactly. And sort of you're getting both, actually. You're getting the USDT and you're getting the underlying asset. So both will go up over time. Right.
But if there's a big drop like we just had, obviously with the Infinity bot, I would have been in a better position.
In the rebalance.
And with the rebalancer bot, I would have, I thought I'd be more exposed with that, wouldn't I?
So the rebalancer bot, yeah, you would have, well, both would work fine. They just have a different, their mechanism's a little bit different. We'll cover that a little bit in terms of like why you would choose one over the other. And then the third thing is the Infinity bot. An Infinity bot, what it does is it attempts to keep your underlying position the same. So let's say you started with like 1,000 Luna or 100 Luna or whatever. It's going to keep your 100 Luna position approximately the same. And it's going to sell a bit on the way up, buy it back on the way down. And anytime it can extract a profit from that while keeping your underlying position, in other words, the total number of coins, not the value of the coins, but the total number, if it can keep it your exposure about the same, it's going to try to extract some profit and tether along the way, right? So that would be sort of like, again, it's de-risking your position by providing you yield all the way up, as far as like Infinity Bot is sort of like designed to go run forever. So you don't actually have to even close it. You could just say the only parameter that you have to set in Infinity Bot is what you think is the lower level for this asset. So for example, let's just start with Infinity Bot first. I think it's like conceptually very simple. Let's say Luna's price right now is $100. And you say, okay, I think that the bottom for Luna is, let's say, I'm going to be bearish. I think it's going to be $50. So therefore, it's going to have to keep half your position in cash, right? Because if you start Luna at $100, it has to have cash to buy all the way down to 50, right, in increments. So that means that your initial position might be like half Luna, half cash, something like that. Does that make sense? So if you're bearish,
yeah. So like now, I would choose that 87. Like just even using right now, yeah, Luna 96, and I think that 87, I could see things bottoming out there, skimming to there.
And even if it didn't,
I would choose it there.
Yeah, even if it didn't bottom out, as long as you're comfortable, as long as you're comfortable being a bag holder in that particular coin, all the way below 87, right? In other words, if it goes below 87 and you're fine with that, right, then you can set the bottom range at 87 and you're good, right? Because what will happen is, let's say the price falls to 75, then what will happen, yeah, is your Luna will just simply be sitting there. It will not be doing anything in the bot. It'll just literally be sitting there. Your last buy would have been at $87, and that's okay, the amount of Luna that you have. And only when the price goes above that price again, $87,
will it give me more?
Will it start operating again, right? So the bottom of the range, I call it like falling out of range. What will happen is that should be the number where you feel comfortable with like the price going below and you just be an owner of Luna at that point, right? Because think of it this way. If it goes below, if you set the range really low, like let's say, you know what, I'm going to be super conservative. I'm going to set the bottom range of Luna at $10, right? What's the problem with doing that? Like, think that out in your head. Like, what would be the problem with making the range too low in a trading?
You need a ton of money for it to keep buying it,
exactly,
right?
You'd have to leave a bunch of cash doing nothing is the bottom line, right? You'd only be able to invest a little bit in the Luna portion and the rest would have to be in cash. That is the problem, right? It'd be the same thing if you went and put limit orders in MeowTrader or on, you know, Coinbase Pro or something, and you put limit orders at 90, 80, 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. Like, what's the problem? It's capital inefficient, right? because you're going
to
have.
So 87 right now is good to like let it work to that range. If it goes lower, it's going to stop working and I'm just holding whatever it bought. Yes. So what happens if it falls to 83 and then bounces back up to 90? What happens between 87 and 90 on the rebound?
So as the price goes up, usually with InfinityBot, you'll have like a 1% gradient. So what it will do is, so you'll have whatever amount you bought, you'll have like that amount in Luna at $87. And then when it goes up 1%, it's going to sell off, it's going to sell off a tiny portion of it, right? And then if it dips back to that, it's going to buy it back. And it's going to keep doing this over and over again. So the goal is,
and
like,
you can pick that percentage.
What's that?
You can pick that number. You can pick that 1%. Can you make it 5?
I'd have to check the InfinityBot again. I don't remember if you picked that or if it's set in stone.
Okay.
I think you can set it on InfinityBot. I believe it's like a 1% would be good. And then, like the only other parameter on the InfinityBot you set is the bottom of your price. Because by definition, on the way up, it just keeps running. Right. The whole goal is it never sells all your position and it tries to kind of keep on accumulating more. So on an InfinityBot, what you want to have happen is you want to have the price be falling periodically to buy you more, and you want it to rise to sell some, and you want it to do this over and over and over again. Right. Like, and
if lots you think of about volatility, it, lots
yeah,
of chop.
Yeah. So what you do is you go pull up a chart. You look at like a 15-minute chart. Right. And you look at a 1 day of that coin. And you'll have some sense of like how often do you see a coin move up 1%, down 1%, up 1%, down 1%, right? Because that's what you need to have this be profitable. You need a lot of volatility. So, and then the why 1%? Because you want it to be so far in advance of fees and whatnot that, every trade is consistently highly profitable at that point, right? You're not, so the last 24 hours would probably be crushing. Yeah, exactly. You would have been crushing it with a bot in this InfinityBot in this context. So like the reason why an InfinityBot would work really well at an all-time high is because you could say, you know what? Like I'm comfortable taking my Luna, taking it over to my InfinityBot, adding Luna one-sided, and then adding some more cash from, let's say, Anchor Borrow. And I'm interested in buying more Luna. If my Luna that I already have, drops in value, I don't care. I already own that Luna. But if Luna falls, I want to add more UST. And I could make an InfinityBot that's programmed to, like, let's say 80 at the bottom. And it would basically tell you how much cash you need to supply in addition to your Luna to fill in the rest of that grid, right? And it's just going to run after that. And you would have done well if Luna fell, because then A, you would have got more Luna. And all the volatility, the little like ups and downs all the way down, the little kind of vibrations in the price, you would basically be making money that entire time, right? Because there's days like think about it. After a big crash in price, you notice like crypto will drag like within a certain range for like a week or two. I call it like technical wreckage, where people are sort of brushing themselves off. All that time.
Yeah, it just kind of rumbles along.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just kind of rumbles sideways and slightly up.
Yes. And you'd make money that whole week that's happening, basically, the way that those work. And so you can see how, like, if you already owned Luna, right, and you supplied that, and you already owned some Tether and you supplied that at a top, then all you want to really do is, and maybe you're bullish at 120. Maybe you're like, this could go to 150. It could have, right? So all you're doing at that point is you're not even trying to like sell the Luna you already have. You're just adding more UST so it buys on the way down. And then if it breaks all time high again and it heads off into infinity, like the InfinityBot says, you'll make money from then until like forever. Like you could just let it run for years and just see what happens, right? So
is that the best kind of bot right now? If I wanted to set a bottom range of like 85, like you said, but I thought we could just go right back up and visit that 120. I don't know if this is true, not financial advice, but if that was my thesis, what bond is best for that?
Think of it this way. You want to make a yield higher than what Luna would already get you, right? Whatever you make's got to be more than 8%, A, right?
B, 6.5.
B, yeah. Or yeah, 6, whatever it is. Yeah, 6.5, 7%, whatever. You would need to make at least that. You would need to, in this case, you would approximately, the InfinityBot approximately keeps your original position size in Luna. So that doesn't change. And you're extracting this in, you're extracting this in Tether, basically, right? And you could then take that Tether at some point and do whatever the heck you wanted with it, right? So you could use that for other opportunities or whatever. So that's sort of how that works. Now, all right, so what would be the difference if I did a grid bot? The grid bot is you have a top and bottom range. So in that setup, you would set the bottom range at like 80, and you set the top range at 120, like today, right? It would buy enough Luna so that if price went up to, from current price today all the way up to 120, it would have enough Luna to sell every 1% on the way up. In other words, it's placing limit orders for you all the way up to 130. And then on That's the way cool. down, it's placing limit orders every 1% all the way down to 80, right? From today's price, it. Right?
I got so it.
On the way up, it's selling every 1% up. And what a bot arbitrage trade or a volatility arb trade would be is it goes up 1%, it sells, goes down 1%, it buys it right back.
It buys.
And that okay. little profit you made of 1% is yours now, right? So what you want in that context is you want like 20 of those trades a day. Right. So you're making literally 1% 20 times that day. So you're making a yield of 20%.
And where do they put the yield back into the bond or does it spit back out into your USDT trading account?
It's going to be listed as a Tether on the side there. You're going to see it listed.
Okay.
Like, so it'll give you over time how much you're it'll give you like an APY number actually to approximate where you are. Don't get
but the tether's on the side and I could just do whatever I want with it at any moment. I don't need to exit the bot to take my Tether profits.
It depends. Okay. Some of these bots will allow you to have that Tether in a pool that they let you just use. And others, you have to exit the damn bot, just use the Tether, which is annoying.
That's awesome. What about KuCoin? Which one's KuCoin?
I think KuCoin, you can't exit it until you exit the entire bot. Bummer. Yeah. So anyway, so that could be a criteria for people because it'd be nice to be able to use that Tether. Like, you know, take that Tether and do whatever the heck you wanted with it, whenever you wanted with it, right? Like, for example, enter another bot with it or something.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
That one sounds cool. I like the grid bot, except for the Tether lockup.
So now the grid, now think about this, though. The grid, the difference would be, is if price heads back up to 120, it's going to sell out your entire Luna position, right? So let's say the price goes to 140. You will be in all Tether.
By 120,
all price action above 120 will nothing will happen. So if you went to, you know, you didn't look at this for months on end, and the price went above 120, and now it's at 140. That entire you would profit nothing from between 120 and 140 because you set the grid range such that it exits, right? So if your goal is to like you have a thesis as far as where a top might be, like let's say you say, okay, well. I think a reasonable fib extension for Luna is like, I don't know, let's just make up a number here. Let's say I think 200 is the next like, you know, step for Luna. I want to make my grid go all the way up to 200. You could set it from like 80 to 200. Here's the thing, though. The intuition should be this. The wider you set your range, right?
It's not going to do anything.
The more, spacing there is between the range, you have to increase you have either... Your spacing between the grid increases like it may be every 2%, or you increase the number of increments, you continue to make them 1% or even smaller. But the problem is the amount of cash per increment goes down, right? Because you only, let's say you have a fixed amount of cash, right?
It's going to be crumbs. It's going to be dust.
You start making them dust at some point if you make them too small, right? That's the downside. So that's the thing about grids is, the simple thing you have to think about in your head is the narrower I can set this range, and the longer an asset goes sideways, the more likely this is going to do what I want it to do, right? So, you know,
Luna's been great for that in periods. Luna's done that quite a bit. It runs like hell, and then it just kind of grinds along.
Luna for the last year has been just so extraordinarily bullish that an argument can be made that you would not really want to do this with Luna. Like, it's just too, yes, you would make the volatility arbs, yes, all of that. But the thing is, you have lots of other opportunities on Terra with Luna, right? Like, you could just basically take a bottom, you could borrow, you could, you know, increase your position that way.
There's a lot of things you lose the utility there.
Yeah,
so maybe like a KDA that does nothing else for me. I can't borrow against it. It doesn't produce any yield. Something like a KDA might be good for this.
Exactly. KDA would be perfect. It's going to be volatile. It's going to be like range bound for periods of time. Something like a rune, if you're not making any yield off of that, might be really decent or something like that, right? Something that you reasonably believe in the underlying coin. But at the same time, like, it doesn't offer any native yield. And at the same time, maybe is going to spend a lot of times in a sideways range. Think about it this way. Like, okay, so I think KDA is like $6 right now, right? Let's say you pick a range, say, you know what? I think the odds of it going back down to four are getting slimmer, but I'm going to pick four just to be kind of a reasonable range. And I'm going to pick the top of eight, right? So if you have a bear market that lasts a year or something, then what will happen is this thing will go sideways in that, within that range. Hell, you know what? Make it even more bearish. Make it like $3 bottom, just for grins, right? Like, so you go like eight to three, and that's a reasonable range for this asset, because like, it's spent a lot of time in that whole range, right? So if the price goes above $8, whatever, so be it, right? You missed that though, right? What's that?
You missed that though, right? It's fully sold out at eight. Correct.
It's fully sold out at eight. Yeah. So at the top of the grid, it's exited, right? But who cares? Yeah. You made money. You're fine. You're in the green, right? What do you give a shit, right? And everything in between, right? All the volatility in between, you've made that yield also, right?
I got it.
So if it goes above grid, you're happy. And you say to yourself, well, I set my bottom range to a level where if I got down below that, I'm comfortable owning this coin. So like $3, it's probably a comfort level. It's perfectly reasonable to be comfortable at that level, I think, in that particular coin. So, you know, you set the lower range based on where you would have set a lower level for a limit order anyway, if you were on a traditional platform, right? You think about it that way. So in other words, you don't mind owning it. You'd love to own Luna at like $50 again. Okay, fine. Well, maybe that should be the lower end of your range. Now, it should have some rationality to it. Like, you know, is it likely that Bitcoin's going back to 1,000? Probably not. So is it rational to make a grid bot with a bottom range of 1,000? No, probably not. It's going to be inefficient, right? Your cash is
just literally going to sit there. But to do that 29 to 48 or something could be, I don't know if that's even too wide.
No, that'd be pretty good. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
And what you can do is, because BTC is it's reasonably volatile, but you have to kind of look at the volatility and analyze a little bit. You want to put it on like a 15-minute chart over like a 24 or 48-hour period. And you want to analyze
to see if you're getting the 1% chop. Because if you're not getting the 1% chop, then it's not going to do anything.
Yeah, it's not doing enough. In which case, you could say to yourself, well, I'm going to make it a 0.5% though. You could modify the range and the grid to where it makes sense to you, right? Like, so that you hit you want to hit a lot of those little trades, but you don't want to make the price range so wide that each grid increment is making so little money. In other words, if it's making you a million transactions and each of them are nickel each, it doesn't make any sense.
So this is helpful. I like this. And I think anything I put into this, it's kind of like when I do LPs, like when I put assets in LPs, I'm doing it for a different purpose. And this to me is almost like creating yield. I realize it's not like generating fees, but it's kind of the same thing. I'm turning this into a yield bearing strategy. So although I might be bullish Bitcoin long term.
What I do like about these versus LPs in one way is that an LP's yield, it's reliant on a lot of different factors that might be outside of my control. Like, for example, are people going to trade this thing sufficiently so that I get transactional yield? Is the inflationary yield in the coin that I'm getting something that I actually want, right? Because a lot of those will like give you Loop tokens or Osmo or whatever, right? And you may or may not want those things depending on the decks you're talking about. By the way, I'm not throwing shade on those decks. I'm just saying, like, you may or may not be want to expose that, those additional volatility of a rewards token. The third thing is volatility can be sustained forever, right? Like, you just have to have some thesis for where your price range is, but there's nothing about volatility that's just going to disappear necessarily in crypto. And, you know, so that's another kind of theoretical concept there. So
can we hit the rebalancer just in the context of the discussions we just had? Because I think I wrapped my head pretty well around the other two.
So a rebalancer, a 50-50 rebalancer, like a USDT slash Luna, for example, let's just take coins that people know. And you can't use UST, so that's why I'm saying USDT. Like, you know, don't have the cult murder me or anything. So basically the Tether versus Luna would be very, very similar in many ways to a rebalancer, right? Similar to an LP. All that's happening in a rebalancer is the price of Luna goes up 1%. It's going to sell 0.5% of that Luna and into USDT, dump it in that pool. That way, both pools are now balanced, right? It won't sell 1%. It'll sell 0.5% in theory.
There's
right?
probably no point for me to do this with Luna because I could just do the Luna UST and at least gain fees. But again, going back to your point with like a BTC or a KDA.
Yeah. Well, not only that. You could go with Astroport and just or an Astroport token instead, which in this context, it has like a crazy ass APY too. And that's going to do well. So if I was going to do a Luna UST, I would probably just do the LP. Now the difference here is the fundamental difference here is there really is not such a thing as impermanent loss in this context. That's the difference, right? So like, let's say Luna goes to 200.
Yeah, it's straight up selling. It's just going to sell at that scale.
It's going to tend to auto compound so much money in between. Like, I mean, literally like most, you know, it wouldn't shock me at all if you're making 20 arb trades per day, essentially, right? So it's making you so much yield along the way and auto compounding it. The odds are that it's going to basically cancel out anything that you would consider like an impermanent loss. And the other thing is you're not getting any like, you know, random rewards token. It's functioning like a true auto compounder. You're getting more USTT, you're getting more Luna in that context, right?
So for me, this one only makes sense at either side of the extreme. Like I've like say Luna ran up past 120 to the next fib to like 130 something, or it's on its way to that next fib. And I think, you know what? I want to take a little bit off for profits because this is my tactical bag and I want to be able to protect downside. Maybe I do this just to go ahead and ensure some profits. But if it goes back down a little bit, I end up with a little bit more. And or same thing, like if it goes down to that 87 somewhere in that neighborhood, even right now, and I want to end up with more, I think that's the local bottom. That would be a time to do put in equal parts. Does that make sense?
Or you can look at it slightly different too. You don't have to do equal parts for a rebalancer. That's the other thing. You can do asymmetric. You could do like 80% USDT, 20% rune or something like that. So if you're at a relative top, you could say, you know what? I want to sell out 80% of this position that I have sitting on KuCoin. I'm going to now park that into an 80-20 rebalancer. It's going to keep me at only 20% of the token and maybe 80% cash. And it's still going to slowly get me more of the token I want, but it's just going to be way more heavy in cash at any given moment, right? So it's going to tend to favor the accumulation of cash versus the coin. Versus the flip side, you could do like a 20% Luna. I'm sorry, a 20% cash, 80% Luna would be a slightly different, right? So the asymmetrics mathematically get more complicated. In terms of like deciding when and if to use those is actually more complicated too. But like, let's say you're not comfortable being in some coin in heavy amounts, but you want to make sure there's plenty of dry powder there, like, so, you know, soaking up lots of your coin that you want, you could go with an 80-20, right? Especially if you're nervous about a coin, right? Then you have very little actual exposure to the coin. You're mostly cash anyway. So even if you like didn't like what was going on and you exited, you barely lost anything, right? So it depends on like how bullish or how conservative you want to really be with your money about that particular asset.
Okay.
So that's kind of how those rebalancers would work. Now you could also do a rebalancer that has some other interesting properties. Like for example, we talked a little bit about using PAXG, which is a gold. It follows the price of gold, remember? So the odds are that the price of gold is going to move differently than the price of, let's say, Bitcoin. You know, it might go one direction, Bitcoin might go the other. Why? Because like these are just very different sort of like people trading these things and totally different. They're not correlated algorithms anywhere near like, you know, crypto based bots are correlated, right? So what you want, decorrelated assets. So let's say you put a stable coin. You introduced a little bit of gold, like maybe 20% PAXG, and you put in, so like, let's say it was 20% Cash, 20% PaxG, and let's say 60% Luna, right? Now what's happening is the gold may move down sometimes while the PaxG, which is gold, might move down while Luna moves up. That's even better because now when you're selling your Luna, you may not just be buying more Tether. You might be buying something that's even lower in value relative to Tether at that moment, right? So you're getting a bigger delta. And so you may actually, introducing volatility into this pool is what PaxG does. And again, it's another like asset theoretically that won't go to zero because it's like tied to the value of gold. And it'd be like a mirrored gold or whatever, you know, on mirror protocol or something like that. It's basically tied to that valuation. So you're introducing volatility. You know, it's not that you want a ton of like gold exposure. You just want to use it to introduce volatility versus stablecoin and versus Luna. You see how that works? So that's another sort of strategy that you could use. And that's relatively conservative because, you know, gold's range is fairly well understood, right? Like you probably are not going to expect gold below 1500 anytime soon. You're probably not going to expect gold to go to a million anytime soon. It's probably going to be between like, you know, I don't know what it is today, but you know, you're probably going to expect
1700, 2200.
Is it already that high, 2200?
No, I don't think it's that high, but I can see it getting there with the way we're printing money. But
yeah.
It probably should be 3200, but they're going to keep it in the 2200 range because they
right.
suppress so, it with paper futures.
The odds are you probably don't have a tremendous downside with gold. So that's a good reason to enter it into the rebalancer. And if it goes up, so what? It'll get sold and it will get you more Luna. Right. So that's
yeah, I'm okay with that.
You're good with that. And if both of them go up, well, fine. You get more, you know, USDT. And if both of them drop, you get more of both of them.
What's PaxG? Is that some kind of mirrored gold kind
PaxG
of thing?
PaxG is, yeah, it's like a gold surrogate crypto. It's on, okay. It's available on, Pionex. And I think it's on KuCoin. I'm trying to remember if it was or not. I'm starting to lose track of what's on what. Anyway,
you were hot with the Pionex when you first found it. Are you still dig it?
Yeah, it's just a pain in the ass because you can't use UST there. You can't transmit UST there. So I got to jump all over the place to get my money there. But other than that, it works. Yeah, okay. It works well. And
I see you saying it was expensive too. Was it were the fees?
It's similar. You can actually connect to KuCoin API or Binance API. Natively, it does Binance because it's I think that's cheaper. The cheapest trading fees are on Binance. So natively, Pionex works with Binance in the background. That's where the trading's actually taking place.
And who has custody? Like, do you have custody? Like, do you have your keys or does Pionex have it and you just have an account there?
You sort of have an account. And I think because not even all the assets on there are like you not all the assets on there. Can you like even, you know, transfer in and out? So essentially they sort of have your assets. So in other words, when you're on that platform, you're using it for simplicity. You're not using it for self-custody necessarily, right? Like, and usually with bot platforms, you're going to have your assets on exchange somewhere.
Sure.
Even if you use like Coinbase Pro and you have your assets on there, you might use like three commas or some of these, you know, trailing.com. There's a variety of different options that you can connect to like exchange APIs, and you know they'll like charge you a subscription. So if you're using a lot of trades that are high amounts of money but are not particularly if the size of your trades is large, then the subscription prices for some of those are not bad at all, right? They're like a monthly or a yearly subscription type of deal. And you know, that might come out cheaper than getting literally charged on KuCoin or Pionex for every single trade on top of whatever your fee is on Binance or wherever they're trading for you, right? So, because remember, any amount that they're taking in fees, you have to compensate for that in more volatility because the way that they price it is, like if you set a 1% increment like an Infinity bot or rebalancer, that's 1% on top of like a 0.3% fee. So what you're talking about is you're talking about a 1.3% move to make the 1% profit in that context. So that's why some people will pick like more like a narrower range. Like they might pick a 0.7% or something like that in some of these platforms, because that way the thing trades way more frequently if you think you're not going to hit it at that amount. Usually with crypto though, you're fine though, dude. Like 1%, even you know, after the fees have been taken out, it usually works well. I don't think there's reason to overthink this. Like, you're doing so well in the sense that, like, you don't have to program your own damn bot. Yeah, you have to pay the fee because it's on an exchange, and they're wanting to make a profit off the bot, right? Like, they're making a little money.
I'm all about the bottom line. I'm not gonna trip over pennies on the way to dollars.
You want something that works, and you want something that works like consistently, and that you don't have to worry about the platform, you know, causing problems for you, blah, blah, blah. Right. So these are the different options. Like, you can do things like a Coinbase or a Kraken, and there are platforms that can connect to those externally, which, you know,
interesting.
A lot of different ideas there. And there's tons of options. Like, if you just like
Google. Kraken's expensive though, isn't it? Like, I like it as an on-ramp, but I think the trading fees are kind of strong compared to.
Yeah. Even Coinbase Pros can be on the expensive side. And by the way, you have to keep in mind slippage too, right? Like, anytime you're talking about large orders, you start getting to that. If you're talking about, you know, you're still staying kind of Mickey Mouse orders, then yeah, it's not a big deal. Most of these places have plenty of liquidity. But if you're like trading like, you know, $1 million worth of Chainlink every order or something like that, then that's a much bigger set of problems. You would have to have a super, super liquid exchange like Binance to do that on. And so, yeah, that's the thing. So those are the different kind of styles. And I think once you sort of realize, okay, like the range is what matters. Like, if I can pick a narrower range, then I'll have less inefficiency with this. But that's why quant people, you know, they call them quants, you know, quantitative traders, their entire concept is trying to predict future volatility. Why? Because if these bots could be like, let's say you were to exit the bot and create a new range based on what you believe is the new volatility range, right? Then if you could preempt it, you could predict that in some way, right? Like, okay, I think, you know, this asset's been kind of narrow for a while. I suspect, you know, major volatility. So therefore, I'm going to exit this bot, right? When might you consider doing that? If you look at Bollinger Bands, you know, the concept with Bollinger Bands is the narrower they are, the sooner that you're probably going to get some kind of volatility squeeze, they call it, right? Where price is going to either fly up or down in some violent move. So you could even set an alarm for yourself. It's called, if you look on TradingView, there's like Bollinger Band ratio, which allows you to like, it'll alarm at when a ratio reaches a certain level. And you could look at that asset and go, wait, do I think this is more likely to go up or down? You could just simply buy it at that point too. Because if the volatility has gone down so much, what oftentimes that means is price is settled at some level, and usually you're going to either find a lot of new buyers or a lot of new sellers because they're like impatient and going, hey, you know what? I think this is going to dump. It's not going anywhere. So narrowing volatility does not automatically mean you're going to have a price go up or down. But you could argue that if you're in a grid bot in that range, you could say, well, you know what? I think this might be a time. It's gotten so narrow. I think I'll just exit it. I'm in the green. I'm going to leave this alone. And I'm going to just exit to that asset maybe because I'm bullish. Or I'm going to exit to cash because this looks like crap. It looks like it's going to dump, right? I can't get above the 200-day moving average. It's spending weeks and weeks and weeks. I think it's just going to get crushed. You could make an argument like that if with yourself, right? So again, you still have to have some trading theory. You have to have some concept of directionality here. It's not a purely a math problem, right? You want to narrow this down, Hutch, to where it's a purely a math problem in theory, right? Like where you can't really feasibly lose if you have like, if you do this reasonably well. Right. You follow what I'm saying here? So like,
absolutely.
You want to create scenarios for yourself that the risk to yourself is so low as to be irrelevant. And the odds of success are high enough that like any subtle mistakes you make are going to be just water under the bridge if you wait long enough. Right. So that's where, like, for example, the Infinity Bot, like you probably can't lose with a like a $80 1% grid Luna Infinity bot, right? You're probably going to do fine, right? So
let me run this by you real quick, because my days are numbered on this space. But this is my plan. So I plan to do this in the self-directed 401k I set up. So the taxes, I care less about any of that. It's all going to be tax neutral, which is the perfect time for me to do high frequency trading. I plan to do it in assets I want to keep anyway, which would be Luna, probably less so because there's so much utility elsewhere and I'm already long Luna, but more so like BTC. Maybe a little KDA, and maybe some Rune, some things that on their own just don't create utility. Like they don't create yield.
Or the yield is so low as to be relevant, like Ethereum, for example.
Yeah. Yes. And, but that I'm bullish that if I hit that bag holder number, like at the end of the day, if I'm just stuck with it for a while in a retirement plan and I got to ride it out, I'm not hating my life. Like I know it'll come back and I can do that. So that's, I think I plan to use it like that. And I think what I hear you saying is just kind of find those likely ranges where there's a lot of chop anyway, or I think what I just heard the last thing you say, where there's expected chop. And it's kind of like what you say with your VP VR, right? You can kind of see where volume needs to be filled in, and kind of like you posted the just like an hour ago or earlier today, you just said, you know, I could see Luna just kind of lumbering along between 90 to 120 for a good amount of time here. Great, let's just park it in this bot, right? And whatever that looks like for BTC, whatever that looks like for Rune or Ethereum.
And the goal doesn't have to be that you're going to get rich off of this range, right? Like the goal is you have a fairly conservative position. You want to make a little extra cash with very little risk to yourself, right? And maybe this is just one position in a series of different things you're doing, right? And, you know, you could basically create a scenario for yourself where you say, wait a minute, okay, if the price falls below my bot, I'm just going to exit and keep the coins and then stake them or something, right? So if you, it is a staking coin, you could do that. You can say, you know what, I'd rather just own this now. It's fallen below this level. Who needs all the volatility worries? I basically bought low, so I don't care now, right? That you could look at it that way. The other thing you could do too is you could also leave some room for yourself, Hutch. You say, you know what? Let's say worst case scenario, you know, we're down at $70 again, right? What would you do in that situation, beside the fact that you'd fallen under the range? It's not unreasonable at that point to then go get some cash and get more at that $70, right? Get actual like spot Luna right there. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I want to screw around with trading. I just want to ride along.
My point is, if you were already rationally conservative and you were still wrong and price fell below that, right? Because that's possible.
Yeah.
Then that's a great time to be just doing a spot by trading it, right? Because now you're literally buying it low, and you're getting it lower than you even thought you'd get it at. So you should always almost have a like insurance policy of extra cash for those events where it's even lower than you thought. That's kind of how I think about it.
Yeah, I have that for my outside, but for this IRA/Roth, I mean, it's just really like a limited, it's just a limited funds. But like I said, like I'm going to have my Luna that I'm going to go along with, I'm going to be staking with anyway. Yeah. If I do something Luna with a bot that's high frequency, I'm not really, yeah. It's more so I'm cool to grind out singles.
If you just want to like run it and have it just go for years and not have to touch it, and clearly having it auto compounding so that you're not having to sort of mess with this thing, I would probably go the rebalancer route. In this case,
I want to mess with it. I like messing.
Yeah, play with them. But you might want to run several. Like you might say, you know what, I'm going to take $1,000 here, $1,000 here. I'm just going to like, you know, just run these things and learn how they work. And
like you said,
it's like, you know, what's cool is that when you start several at one time, it really helps you do a compare and contrast with in your mind, like, okay, with prices that did this, okay, these three things did this, right? Like, oh, look, this one performed better than that one in these volatile conditions. It'll help you sort of like be able to strategize in the future by just watching their performance. It's almost like watching a fantasy sports team or something. Like, you know, you got these horses in the race, you're kind of seeing what the different things do. And you really get a feel for like, okay, did I choose a good grid range for this? Like, was 1% a good idea? Did I underestimate my range in one direction or the other? And maybe like, okay, what would have happened if I had just like, you make a couple of notes for yourself. What would have happened if I just bought Luna at this price and staked it, right? Because you will be able to analyze then like, what would have happened had you done something else, and, you know, and taken that exact same money and just performed a spot buy, right? So that way in your mind, you can look over time, a year goes by, and you say, wait, like, which of these situations performed the best? You know, and it's just fun to watch it. Like, these things are cool to watch because they just kind of keep printing money. You're like, hey, look, where's this coming from? And it just keeps making money nonstop. It's actually quite funny, especially as the price starts going above where you, so initially it's going to show an APY that's negative if your price drops. So don't freak out about that. It'll be in the red. It'll say you're making a negative something. And that's just because your price has fallen. But once the price is finally like sort of flattened out and it's gone above your range, or you've made enough on the arb trades that basically like you have, like, you know, it's going green either way, then what will happen is it'll, you know, you'll go past your entry price, and then it's going to start showing numbers in the positive, and you're going to find that you're like, whoa, this thing is just printing every day. Like, what's going on here? Like, I did it with Adam. I remember, like, between $5 to $15, and I just ran one because I was interested in kind of a setup on one of these things. And I was, I think, between, like, 15 and 30, and the damn thing fell like to 10. So I actually spot bought more at 10 and staked it, which was a good idea. But what happened in that bot was, like, per day I was making anywhere between 12 to 21% arb trades, and it was just raking in money way faster than staking it ever would have. Like, this thing was making like triple the staking rate on in any given day, on a bad day, right? On a good day, it was making better. So I think these things can be pretty cool. And that was with a grid in that particular instance. You know, grids can do, grids can be much more focused and high yield in a narrow band. So like, for example, Luna right now, if you pick like, I don't know, like you said, 80 to 120, you know, you, in that, within that band, you're going to do really well, right? But the way that they describe them is like, okay, these are like slow bullish types of activities. Like, you think something's going to go up over time, like an infinity bot or rebalancer, but you believe that it's going to be doing that over like a 6-month course, as opposed to immediately, right? Like, if, Hutch, if your intuition was, oh yeah, shit, Luna's going to 200 next week, right? You wouldn't do any of this stuff.
You don't do any of that.
You wouldn't do any of this stuff.
Yeah. No, I get that. I totally get
that's
that.
A key thing is that
when you think there's chomp, or after it runs, and when it gets to like 190, maybe I slap one on,
right? It's like, right? Either chomp, or you believe this is going to mitigate your downside by buying you more on the way down, right? Like, so these would be a couple of ways to think about this. And you could always look at it, you can also think about strategies of just simply closing the bot down too, right? Because you could say, well, you know what, I'm below the bot's range, I'd rather just own Luna at $85 again. I'm just going to park that, stake it, or whatever I'm going to do with it. Or I've got a bunch of Prism tokens, I'm going to refract it, throw it as Y Luna, and boom, I'm getting all that yield. And now I just have a bunch more Luna, right? Because remember, your opportunity cost is you're losing that yield potentially, right? So you have to ask yourself, well, which of these would I rather do? Yeah, so it depends. But if you're just running like an IRA and you just want it all to be in one account or something like that, simple, then that might be a way to go.
It's just mainly to avoid the tax. I'm just going to play with it. I'm going to get to know these things, and I will report back. This has been super helpful. I got one quick, I know MetaMask.
And by the way, you could do like, if you're worried about also leaving your money on KuCoin for protracted periods of time, because it's not in the United States in your case, what you could do is you could look for some platforms that do this, but have APIs that connect to Coinbase. So then you could do it with like Wrap Luna and Tether, or actually you could do Wrap Leather. You could do Wrap Luna, Wrap UST at that point, right? And you could just, it'll trade whatever coins are on Coinbase, for example. And you just have to make sure that they have similar types of bots, right? You just have to analyze that piece of the puzzle.
Hey, quick idea for a bot that I had with the Lunanomics talk that we had today. And, you know, I said, hey, I'm thinking for I never did a kamikaze wallet. I don't believe in trying to get liquidated. But it occurred to me, like, when Luna hit a local top for my borrowed Luna, which is technically not my Luna, it probably wouldn't hurt to sell some at the top to kind of get ready for a cushion, like take some profits. And so what I was thinking was like an hourglass bot. So imagine like an hourglass, like on the way down, it's Cephi buying, it's Martingale buying on the way down.
What you're talking about is a pro rata bot. PRORATA. And what you're doing is you're setting up a larger percentage buy on the way down. The problem with that is gate.io used to have a really nice one. That's actually the premier platform, in my opinion, as far as like a central trading platform. The problem is those rascals kicked out U.S. customers. So, you know, I'd get a little bit nervous about VPNing in through there and all the other garbage involved.
So nobody else has this Hourglass bot, because I was thinking not only Martingale buy on the way down, but on the way up, kind of reverse Martingale sell. So like
Pareto would do the exact, that would be exactly what that does. So you might want to like Google a little bit and see if you can find us some more platforms that will work with like Coinbase Pro. And that way you don't have the problem of worrying about like the exchange. Your money's pretty safe on Coinbase for the most part. Like you're not going to lose. You're not likely to lose your funds. And
I will say though, they're a pain in the ass to get an institutional account for a for an IRA. Kraken was amazing. So I don't know what their fees are, but for a prorated bot, it's not going to be like super high frequency trading anyway. Right. It's kind of like a slow grind on the way up, slow grind on the way down.
Right. And remember, so a prorated bot, the difference is it's going to have to store. You have to store more of your money in cash. Right, because it's got to have that cash at the bottom, right? So that's the difference.
I'm fine with that as long as you can scrape it, as long as you can, like, I don't like the idea that you have to keep it in the bot, but I guess you do have to keep it in the bot. Yeah. See, we need to put this on chain so it can sit in AUST.
Exactly. That's what I was saying before, right? Like, it'd be a very different thing. Imagine this. Everything we just talked about, right? Except that you have BLUNA. And you can just go over to Anchor and hit the claim button, right? Mm-hmm. You have AUST waiting until an order gets executed, and then that gets sold to UST, and then executes, right? So you get the best of all worlds. You get the volatility arbitrage. Yeah. You get the yield on BLUNA.
You get the yield, and you have access to everything outside the bot when you're waiting.
And for this is precisely why I said, like, the true money printer would be to introduce bonded Atom, which we apparently have now, bonded Luna, which now, you know, we already have. And both of those are yielding you UST that's piling up an Anchor, right?
Mm-hmm. AVAX too.
Yeah, or AVAX also. Throw them all in a rebalancer. Let them all just kind of do their thing, right? Like, you don't give a shit at that point. You're making money on the yield either way. So then what you can
do. And I'm not opposed to any of those assets.
Then what you could do is you could then take that UST and you could either pour it, you know, add more to that bot, right? That's one option. You could take that UST that you're earning and go buy something else, right? Because you see some other things dipping. You could leave that freedom out there. And then now you're getting the volatility sort of trades, and you're getting your yield simultaneously. And what's interesting about Atom in particular was, because if all you're interested in is the yield, well, it's got like a 15% APY right now. So that's just pouring out UST left and right. Right. So, you know, that would be the kind of the safe bet. And that's what I suggested to Nexus Protocol, that even though like they're not able to get AMM fees down below 0.3%, which, you know, because like KuCoin might be 0.3% all inclusive, like their fee, the slippage, the whatever. Right. Whereas you can't get that same efficiency on chain right now, because even with Astroport, the trading, if you'll notice, it's like a 0.3% fee to, you know, and that doesn't even include the slippage. If you start doing vaults with massive orders, right, it can be like 0.5%, you know, loss every time you make a trade, which would be no good.
Wouldn't volume beget volume?
Once Vertex is running and we can get some of these things into like a system with a much, maybe you have like a bigger order book, right? Then you might be able to do this with way less fees and such. So there's some possibilities coming, but the way I described it to the Nexus gang was, hey, look, you know, you're getting all this UST yield, right? So do this, just set the parameters so that you only rebalance maybe every like 2%, right? Who cares if it's a little bit less? Because you're getting all these fees anyway. If you get the 2% rebalancer, you know, trades to happen, well, great. You made some extra coin there, and you got all this yield coming in while this shit's sitting here, right? You get all that coming too. And if you have any AUST parked there, you could do one of two things. You could add the AUST to the rebalancer, or you could just have all the yield that's coming off your cash just pour into the rebalancer and not sacrifice your UST. You see what I mean? So there's all sorts of interesting permutations you could create with that, depending on your risk tolerance and like how much of a money printer you want here, and maybe how much exposure you really want to, say, Atom versus Luna or whatever. So there's interesting.
I think it needs to happen on chain, though. I think we actually have better chain on tools between BLuna, Luna X, and AUST.
Yes.
For this to be this more efficient be, on chain.
It'll be much better on chain, because now you're getting yield off your proof of stake assets, which there's almost no reason to give that up and go to a non-yielding coin. Because, like, think about it. Let's say you're playing with Kadena versus Atom versus AVAX, right? You're getting price action on all of them. It's not like you're protected from volatility. So you got volatility on all of them. Great. You might as well have yield too, right? Like, why wouldn't you? And if it's inflationary yield, whatever, who cares? At this point, you're rebalancing. You're making up so much extra anyway that, like, the fact that it's inflationary yield becomes, like, unimportant in the time frames that we're talking about, right? So, like, that's the primo sort of optimal, I think, proof of stake machine. And this is the reason why I was focusing more on this and bring it to fruition than worrying as much about actual bots on like KuCoin and PioNex. Because if we can get this to work, we're just in better shape. Now, by the way, you could do a little bit of this manually too, in a sense, right? You could say, okay, I've got these assets. You know, hey, look, you know, Avalanche is cheaper today compared to Luna, right? You just do a Luna Avalanche index, right? On TradingView, you can do an Avalanche divided by Luna, and you can see which one's up or which one's down relative to each other. And you could go and buy a little bit of these things manually if you want to, right? If you go, oh, look, I'm going to set an alarm, and when Avalanche is like drops 3% for the day below Luna for that day, then I'm going to go ahead and buy a little bit of Avalanche or bonded Avalanche, right? Because you want the yield. So as long as these yields are accruing in, you know, they're accruing in Anchor Protocol, like you could just dip by each of these, whichever one dumps the most, get that one, right?
And I got orders for Avalanche on Kujira. So, Seppy, I got to run, actually. Yeah. Thank you so much for running me through these. I really appreciate it.
For sure. I'll get some questions from another gang here in a minute. But good. Yeah, hopefully you picked up a lot. Yeah.
I did. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Meta Mothra, go ahead. Do you have any questions, comments about this whole thing? Or are you there still? if anyone wants to hop up, ask anything about any of that, be my guest. But this is kind of Hutch's request to have this today.
No, I just was more soaking in the alpha. So.
Okay. But did you understand most of what kind of we're talking about, or more or less?
Just a little bit. I got to probably re-listen to the space again to more, but that's just the way I learned.
So. Yeah, the simplest thing to do, I think, for people is grab yourself like get yourself like PioNex or KuCoin, either one. Just you don't even have to actually sign up for them. You can just like log in and just take a look at what they do. And what you can do basically is. Just sort of, and what you want to do is go push all the custom buttons. You don't want the, like, there's automated crap, like they have what's called a little AI thing that will like look at past volatility and pick some ranges for you. Skip all of that and just go to the custom section, and you'll see all the different buttons. You'll see all the different ways to adjust these things. And you're like, oh, okay, I get this now. You know, all right, I can set some ranges. I can set some percentage, you know, profit taking ranges, and I can set how much money I put in this. They're not rocket science for sure. Like you can figure them out. You just have to understand. The more complicated thing is not figuring out what they do. The more complicated thing goes back to like, what's your trading theory as far as like your risk tolerance, your, how much, what your thesis is for that particular coin. And some of those types of things. Also like your, how much, exposures do you want to stable coin versus how much exposure do you want to the underlying asset? Do you want to take profit in stable? Do you want to auto compound in the asset? These are the kinds of questions you have to ask yourself before entering into those things. And I think you start figuring it out pretty quickly. Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Seffy? How you doing, man?
Good. You figure all this out yet?
Yeah, I actually I've had a lot of fun playing with the bots on KuCoin, and I actually set one up. I do have a question, but my experience was I did one on Kadena back when it went from like $6 to $24, and it did really well. Obviously, I would have done a lot better had I just put the money straight into Kadena, but. Curious what,
but you did, but you probably did better if it fell in price too, right? Like, in other words, if you didn't sell, you just let it ride all the way up and all the way down again, you probably did better in the bot than you would have if you just held spot.
Yeah.
You follow me? You follow what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, since I was kind of new to it, I didn't ride it all the way up and down. At one point it had, you know, it was multiples of what I had put into it. And I just said, you know, this is like, it's like playing the slot machines at a casino. Like, it felt like free money. So I just took it and ran. And I don't even know if I fully understood what I was doing, but my question, is there a strategy to adjusting the bands? Because I know you can kind of hurt yourself if you do that, but like, if it, like Kadena, like it would blow through whatever AI band it gave you initially, or the range, I should say. When do you adjust yours? And I guess, is there like a way to optimize that?
You should always be okay if the price of something goes above what you thought it was going to go to, right? As long as you're in the green, you can, you know, you're happy, right? You can brush yourself off and, you know, yeah, I didn't get as rich as I thought I would, but I'm going to do something else now, right? So I think, the concept here on these is you don't have to get too greedy to the upside with these. You know, you say to yourself, all right, like, let's say Kadena's price today, right? And it's not a bad choice because it doesn't have any native yield anyway. So I think it's like around $6 ish right now, right? So you say, okay, I'm going to set it for like four to eight, like we talked about earlier. And that might be a good range, because if you're down below four, or maybe set it even as low as three, who knows, whatever that number is. And then look at how many grid increments it would create if you did like a 1% increment. And if it drops all the way to three, great. You got the coin for cheap. No problem. If it goes, you know, up above your range, like let's say you picked, I don't know, eight, you didn't get a lot of KDA in this instance, because there's only so much space between $6 and $8, right? So you actually didn't get that much. So that would be the bearish version of this bot, because you have more cash waiting on the bottom than you do towards the upside. But if you go to the upside to $8, you made like, you know, you made it that $2, you know, gain essentially, which is like a, I think like increase in like 1/3. So you made like a 33% sort of profit to the upside in a sense, or something thereabouts, if all of it sells out. And it's selling all the way up, so you're not exactly at 33%, but it's some of the volatility as it goes sideways and then it exits. So let's say you made 20%, right? Fine, big deal. You know, as long as you're in the green, people shouldn't sweat it, especially when you can get into the green so quick with these bots, right? It's like within a few months, you're probably going to be fine one way or the other. So, you know, you use these things to sort of like have a different risk portfolio than you otherwise would with some of the other things you're doing, right? Like, no method will be totally perfect every time in terms of both magnitude and timing and everything else, right? You're never going to be perfect, but this is just a different strategy. And especially if you're on borrowed funds, right? You want to have some, let's say you want to just have some conservative strategy where it's like your top's at $8 Kadena and your bottom's at two, almost all of your positions in cash in that type of grid. And if it runs and it goes up, awesome. If it goes down sideways for a year, great. You make money. You're going to make way more yield than you would have on Anchor. So therefore, like, why not? Just let it run, right? So you're in a low risk position because you're on a borrow, right? You're not worried so much about making megabucks. You're just worrying you want to preserve capital so that if you have to pay back your borrow or something like that, you have it available to do so, right? So,
yeah,
so, so it depends on your risk strategy for that moment, right? Like, where does money come from? What is that capital costing you, right? Because in Anchor, maybe it's costing you 5% or something. Right. So, you know, those are the kind of considerations you make when you're entering these things.
Yeah. I think the reason I like them is, and you point this out, is, I mean, if you just are on the ride, like, you know, like Hutch was saying, if you're just on the ride for long term, you end up just absorbing all these gains and losses, and the volatility is massive. So it's just a hedge on volatility, which
yeah,
is nice.
Yeah. Well, it's profitability on volatility is what it is.
Yeah.
And that way your time is not spent just watching things go up and down. You're actually getting something from it. And yeah, if you can find certain assets that you don't think have a high likelihood of going to zero, have a high likelihood of being range bound for protracted periods of time. Like, I think like a Litecoin makes sense for something like this, or like, I don't know. You don't want to pick stuff that you think over a year period is going to go to zero or something. That makes no sense, obviously, because you don't want to have to fight. Ultimately, if your asset goes up and you get a lot of sideways action before it goes up, that's the primo situation, right? So you're better off generally if the coin's bottomed out, because it's easier to get into the green. No, it's no different than placing normal limit orders. If you buy at the very bottom and the price goes up, you're going to be in the green a lot quicker. If you have to wait a long time until volatility yields actually get you in the green, that's a more protracted time. There's a lot more time involved with that, right? See the difference? So, yeah, I mean, I think if you like the asset a lot, I think the rebalancer makes a lot of sense, right? You just let the damn thing run forever. Don't even look at it. See what happens in a few years and just like, okay, I threw this $1,000 in this thing. I want to see what happens. And then, you know, like a year later, assess how it's doing. And, you know, if the asset goes down, it's doing fine because it's buying more. If it goes up, it's fine because it's selling some. It's getting you some more Tether, and it's just doing that over and over and over again. And the more volatile it gets, the more profitable it becomes, right? So you want crazy volatility if possible. And actually, if you think about this carefully, like a rebalancer would work really well with like an early stage asset, right? Like something like, you know, that's in a cycle one or cycle two type early behavior. Why? Because those are the type of coins that are crazy ass volatile, right? Why are they so crazy? Because the market cap is tiny. It doesn't take that much to pump it, right? Look at Rune, for example. Perfect case. Perfect case for something like this, right? You put it in a rebalancer and it's just basically making you money on volatility 24/7. You don't even have to worry about it, right? Because you know there's so much volatility, you're going to extract that volatility and it's going to de-risk your position as you go, because you're getting more Rune and you're getting more Tether the entire time, right? So even if the price falls, you're cool. If it goes up again, you're still cool. You know, that's a good way to think about it.
And do you ever use, so that's rebalancer with a stable. Do you ever look at the rebalancer like a, you know, almost like a pairs trade?
Yeah, you certainly could.
Like you take something you don't like and just, because
I wouldn't, yeah, I don't know that I would take something I don't like, because here's the thing. There's a variety of coins that you could like, number one. So there's not a reason to add any risk to the position. You have, like we mentioned earlier, like Pax G, which is a gold, it follows gold price. So that's a good volatility introducer. And then you have stables, which by the way are, right, they're volatile versus the asset you care about, right? Which, because they're stable. So there's a delta there. So I think a rebalancer with some amount of stablecoin, some amount of Pax G, and some amount of whatever it is you're trying to plug in would be reasonable. And if you say, you know what, Luna is a much higher market cap now, I'm going to throw a little Kadena in there because I think it's reasonable. But Kadena is going to have way more volatility and it's going to produce a lot more delta in here. I'm going to go with that, right? So you could definitely do that. You could introduce, but I wouldn't do something that's like just a total garbage coin or something that has no, you know, like, so anything that has like no chance of a future, you want to avoid that kind of shit, right? Like, don't just get some meme coin just because. Like, you know, so I don't know if that would be a good choice. Like, I guess you could. I mean, there's a fair amount of volatility on like a Dogecoin. You could probably do that. But the problem is you have no idea how long that could bleed, right? That sucker could bleed with its inflation rate. You could have that fucker bleed for like years before it does anything, right? You have no idea. And you don't really want to ride that damn thing down, because remember, when the price of Dogecoin goes down, you're getting more Dogecoin. Do you really want to own that? Probably not. That's the problem. Right.
Yeah.
So the one that's going down the most is the one you end up owning more coin of, right? And it's selling the prize assets for it. So you're way better off like an LP to pick two things or three things or four things that you like versus versus just throwing some garbage because it's volatile. Because you'll be tempted to do that, by the way. You're like, holy shit, look at the volatility of this thing, right? You can actually pull up volatility charts on some platforms like TradingView, and it'll like just rank them in order of volatility. And you're like, oh, look, this one looks interesting. But the problem is it may just be a complete shit coin, right? You don't want it. So there's that.
Well, I think Phildo needs to get up here because I got one. So my other question was going to be, do you ever think of rebalancer bots in the sense of like a synthetic, or is there a way to treat it like a synthetic short? Because, like, example, a new coin comes out or something that you would want to short, but there's not perps set up for it yet because it's either a new issuance or whatever. I'm just wondering, is there a way to express a bearish view using the rebalancer bot or any other?
Well,
only for long.
I guess if you're more bullish cash than you are the asset, then you could say maybe you do like a 80% tether, 20% asset rebalancer, and you hope to capitalize on the volatility on the way down, but you don't really want to own a whole lot of the underlying asset, right? So the relative portion of the pool is tiny. And even if the price of the asset drops, the relative amount of more coin you get in that is relatively small, even still, right? You can do something nutty like a 90-10, like 90-10 like cash versus the shit coin you're worried about. And that's also a very low risk position in the sense that, let's say it goes up. Well, yeah, sure, you make money. If it goes down, well, you're probably going to make money anyway because the position is so small. The volatility is probably going to outweigh the actual like downside of that position. There's some definite experiments you could do with something like that, like a 90-10 or something, along those lines, right? So, some fodder for thought actually is for you to try out.
Sure.
Anyway, I think we've covered a fair amount today. Hopefully people have soaked it in here. I'm going to get off because I've got to go do some dinner with the family and such. But it's a little Saturday nerd out here. So hopefully, it'd be good if people like run some of these different ideas and different strategies and, maybe note some of the performance and how you're doing and post about it. It'd be nice because then we kind of get like a little bit more sort of like real world data back as far as what types of things have been successful for folks is kind of cool too. Well, cool. All right. Well, yeah, everyone have a good night, and we can do this again sometime if you didn't kind of fully grasp it, or maybe after people have like played around a bit, we do another one at some point where it's like more practical at that point. It's one thing talking theory, and it's another thing just like when you set it up and play with it a little bit. These things are pretty easy to use. I think there's some documentation on KuCoin as far as how each of these things works. It's not even that complicated. You'll get it.
Yeah, their example transactions or the example scenarios are actually really good.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's probably the second best thing to just doing one.
Yeah, is just go look and see what they did. Exactly. And you don't want to just go to YouTube for this, by the way. Like you'll type in GridBot or whatever on YouTube, and I don't know. It just doesn't seem like. If someone has a really good resource where people have run these in some experimental fashion for protracted times and really provide some data, I think that would be helpful. But some of the ones are like just stupid ass referral code videos and stuff like this. And they run something for a few months and like make some sort of claims. And I don't know. They're just useless. So if you guys can post some sort of videos where people have done good content, that would be nice too. I think Donku has wanted to sort of, get me on where we have like a trading view chart and we're sort of analyzing that and then like entering that data into like an actual, enter into an actual program with it. We like record all of that and then like you let these things run for a while, see how they do, and then people can get like some active feedback from it in terms of watching how it performs and, and then understand that the trading theory that went into setting it up a certain way, that could be interesting as well. And again, I'm not like the absolute, mega expert on this by any stretch of the imagination. I think mathematically they're very understandable. But it's not like you need a quant degree to figure this shit out, right? You know, like you just have to sort of have a little thesis in your head about the way these things work, and then understand, I think, what risks you want to tolerate and how long you want to run these things. And these kinds of things help more than anything, because even if you had a perfect quantitative, you know, you had a degree in the damn thing, it doesn't matter, because like, just because you have a degree in quantitative analysis doesn't mean you can predict the future either. That's the problem with all of those fancy degrees, is like, you could do math all day and night, but it doesn't necessarily solve the problem of not being able to see the future. So, you know, it, a lot of times in these contexts, it's really more about your goal and your risk tolerance and your time preference than it necessarily is being some sort of like, you know, equation genius or whatever. So that's how I look at it. All right, guys. Well, good. Jason, yeah, hopefully you have a good night. We'll catch up later.
Yeah.
All right.
Good night, Seffy.
Night, guys.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the CeFi Space Trading Bot Setup Theory, recorded on Saturday, April 9th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Intern Capital. Everyone knows interns make the world go round, so when it comes to picking out your interns, make sure you choose the best. The best, you say? That's right, the best. And everyone knows all the best interns come from Intern Capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter and keep an eye out April 14th for the Intern FT Mint launching on One Planet. Links are in the show notes. And for more information, check out intern.capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter for daily ship posts and stock tips. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along, and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody want to rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday, and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, huge sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around $0.75 to listen to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. Can't even say they're making pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw, shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointing too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music. Spaces.